The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Kendall Milton's got a lot of grass. He's gone to the house. Touchdown just like that.
Hand off Corum. He's got some room. 25, 20. Blake Corum. Blake Corum to the 10, to the 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Michigan.
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. Love you, man.
Well, the Georgia Bulldogs seem to be peaking at the perfect time with two impressive wins, including a demolishing of Ole Miss. Meanwhile, no Jim Harbaugh, no problem for the Michigan Wolverines, who win at Penn State, and interim Sharon Moore presenting his feelings that I'm sure represents the entire Michigan faithful, tears and all.
I love you, man. Can I say that, Graham?
That sounded good.
Have you ever been overcome with emotion so much? You just
maybe a little bit.
Went off like that. And
maybe.
Had a potty mouth on national television as he did. And
oh, yeah.
Not
that,
clean it
not
up,
that
Coach.
Emotion.
Coach, you got to know how to talk in front of a camera there. But, okay. Hey, he's happy to win. Happy for Michigan. And I thought that with both Georgia and Michigan finally beating top 10s, hey, here comes the change in the poll. Well, we got one of them. A little reversal at the top. But Michigan, maybe that Harbaugh cloud's still hanging over them some.
I wonder. And, of course, there's still clouds hanging over him as far as this weekend. By the time you hear this, you may know whether or not he will be allowed to coach in the game this weekend. But that said, it's still there and it's still being talked about. I don't know what to expect from this Michigan football team going forward, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe it was the nature of the win. I'm trying to figure it out. We'll look at that, I know, later on. But is their body of work not as impressive as Georgia's now that they both have that top 10 victory? Isn't this the same team in Michigan that beat Penn State just as Ohio State did? Oh, it's that Notre Dame win. That's right. They're still holding
one
on
big
to that
win.
One.
That's right. That's why we are so in love with Ohio State over.
And it could still be the Harbaugh factor.
I would say 2 weeks from now when we get to the championship Saturday, we will have a better understanding of where all this is. Jimbo Fisher is out as the head coach at Texas A&M, as is Zach Arnett at Mississippi State. And there are rumors floating around about other coaches and their future. For Fisher, the news came on Sunday after the Aggies had put up 51 points against Mississippi State the day before, their biggest offensive output in SEC play all season. But this wasn't about 2023, but a collaboration of lackluster seasons since he arrived for the 2018 season. He leaves with a record of 45-26, that despite one of the largest salaries in the business, no SEC championships or division titles for that matter. The news caught some by surprise, including Mark Passwaters of AggieL.com.
The consensus was that he was probably going to get another year. I had talked to Ross Bjork, the athletic director, on Monday, and he was clearly not happy with the way things were going, but he also kind of indicated that, you know, at that point, he probably had three games at least to save his job. What I didn't know is he was going over to the president's office after he talked to me to recommend they fire him. So, that was a quick shift change.
Meanwhile, Arnett is let go by Mississippi State, not even getting a full season. He had a difficult circumstance replacing a legend, the late Mike Leach. But as former coach Max Howell points out, Arnett was set up for a difficult situation.
That was a gratuitous situation, but they gave him that job mainly because Coach Leach brought him there with a lot of credit. He's a good defensive coordinator. That defense, when Leach was running the offense and he was running the defense, the system, the program was doing well. But it's something about his personality just doesn't fit as a head coach. If you notice him on the sideline, he has no comment, no conversation with the players or the coaches. He didn't even go to the huddles when they come to the sideline. I mean, he's just, he's different in that respect. And that's okay if you win it. But when you lose it, people want to see you involved. You're the head guy. You've got to set the example.
And then Arkansas There are rumors about Sam Pittman, whether or not he will be retained as the head football coach. The Hogs will be sitting at home come bowl season, and Pittman may be home earlier than that. Andy Hodges has his thoughts on Pittman's future.
Sam is struggling. He's treading water. And it's not because Sam Pittman doesn't know football. Being a head coach in the SEC has very little to do with actually coaching X's and O's and coaching players at a specific position. Sam Pittman spent 35, 36 years learning how to be a coach, was a very good assistant, one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, finally gets a head coaching job, and everything he learned for 35, 36 years went into the trash can 30 days after he got the job. He never had to coach with NIL or transfer portals.
A little bit of bluntness there, but point made. It was a busy week for athletic directors and some board of trustees making the decision. But the one that stands out the most is Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, Jimbo, you could say, did okay. But when you're paid as much as he is paid, amazing amount of money, they won the national championships. So they made the big payday. It was interesting, though. I was wondering if I was in another world when you win by 41 and you're canned. Obviously, this was in the works already. And I guess Mississippi State had to react. But they're going to fire him for beating us by 41. Our guys got to go.
Well, and quite frankly, that's two in the SEC, maybe three with Pittman coming up. Week three of the college football playoff poll is out. Time to meet the new boss. Same as the old boss, as we say in our best Roger Daltrey singing voice. Georgia is back at number one for the first time this season, jumping ahead of Ohio State after their impressive win over Ole Miss. Everything else stayed basically the same, but we are setting up a couple of showdowns with one-loss teams soon to challenge some undefeateds. I didn't have a problem with Georgia being number one. Didn't have a problem with Ohio State being number one. We've still got five teams undefeated.
Yeah, and unless some of these teams start losing, I'm talking about not just the undefeateds, but the one-loss teams, we could have a real mess at the end. There's all kinds of scenarios, and we're playing them out in our heads. For one, you got the Georgia-Alabama winner. You say, well, they're in. Maybe. Texas, if they win their conference without a loss. Then there's the Michigan-Ohio State winner. Then there's the Washington-Oregon winner if those two teams face off. And then the losers of some of those games that are undefeated, would they be in the consideration? How could you not have Georgia in the talk, at least, if their only loss is to Alabama? They're 12-1, two-time defending champion.
You think they'd let them start that 12-team playoff earlier?
It would fit this year. That, yeah. But we've got 3 weeks to see some of the pieces fall into place. I'll be curious to see if the committee has a real tough task at the very end.
And I feel confident it will. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Make start this weekend.
It very
we've been
well
saying
could.
That the last few weeks, and it's we been have. Close. It just hasn't happened.
Well, we enter this weekend. Only one conference championship game has been set. That's in the SEC. Georgia and Alabama, they both clinched a trip to Atlanta this past weekend. But the other leagues are still up in the air, especially the Big 12, where currently four teams are tied for second behind Texas. An upset to Oklahoma State by Central Florida last week opened the door for others to become involved in the race, including Iowa State, which plays host to the Longhorns this weekend. But don't tell Matt Campbell, who's keeping focus on just winning.
Our focus really has been we want to play meaningful football in November, number one. Number two, you know, we certainly celebrated the milestones of, you know, winning on the road last week, the opportunity to, you know, become, you know, bowl eligible. And then I think the focus really this week is about these seniors. And, you know, you're playing obviously an incredibly exceptional football team coming in here. Our kids understand where we want to be. We've said it from day one. We don't need to talk about those things. We need to do it. And I think sometimes you can talk and sometimes you need to do. And, you know, I think that's one of the great things about this group is, man, just worry about the process it takes to become the best. And then we'll let the chips fall where they may. And this group's really been able to handle that.
Either Iowa State this week, Texas Tech next week can really throw that league into a quandary beating Texas.
Yeah, a lot of possibilities of who could win it. Still a crazy race going on there. And Texas can't lose. I don't think they can. And still, even if they lose and win the Big 12, I think they're out. Their wild card is Alabama right now, and they have that head-to-head if it comes down to possibly those two in the end. It'd be interesting to see how the committee handles that. But they have really struggled, has Texas, the last three of their four games. And that's since the Oklahoma loss. These two ahead don't look like guarantees either. This one might be the toughest of all of those on the road.
Could be. It's another test for undefeated Washington, heading to Corvallis to face Oregon State on Saturday. The Huskies have survived Stanford, USC, and Utah in the last three games. It's time they face a hot quarterback in Clemson transfer. Hang on, let me get this right. DJ Uiagalelei. Close enough? Okay, well, best I can do. He's excited about the challenge facing the number five team in the country.
It's an unbelievable opportunity we have to be able to play against Washington here at home at Research Stadium. It's going to be a great environment. It's going to be rocking. Can't wait for the game. And, man, I'm just excited to be able to play against a great team like Washington, man. They got a great defense. They got a great offense. Defensively, they do a great job of scheme. They got great athletes. They got a good D-line, linebackers, corners, secondary, safety. So, for us, man, it's a great challenge. So, we got to be able to have our hands on the right way, be able to be sharp, and be able to go out there and execute.
When's the last time the number five ranked team in the country was an underdog in a game this late?
Yeah, well, this is a pretty good team they're facing in Oregon State. And it's good to see Uiagalelei. I think you got it right.
I was trying.
Playing so well after Clemson, where it struggled. And really, on the flip side, Penix, who's probably going to be at the Heisman ceremony. He is the leading passer in the country in yardage. Incredible year he's having. This will be a nice one to watch. Washington, they've been dangling on the edge, a little bit like Texas. Now, these last few games especially, and as a matter of fact, in their last four games have all been within 10 points. So this expected to be another close one.
They need to win big, in my opinion, to maintain their ranking. Speaking of quarterbacks, Georgia's Carson Beck continues to grow into the expectations of a highly recruited player. Taking over for two-time champ Stetson Bennett, Beck is looking like one of the best quarterbacks in what suddenly has become a great league of quarterbacks, that is the SEC. Patrick Garvin of UGASports.com has watched the growth of the Dogs quarterback as they head to Tennessee this week.
Well, I tell you, the one thing I'm impressed with is he's very mistake-free. And you couldn't say that about him, say, even last year. I think in garbage time, it was early last year, he threw two interceptions. And he just seems to be a good decision maker. I think Carson and Kirby Smart will tell you the same thing. He's progressing. He's steadily improving.
And he may be the key in whether or not they can three-peat, because the defense is starting to play like we expect. Offense is looking pretty good, too, for the Dogs.
Yeah, offense is sixth in the country. And we think of Kirby Smart and his vaunted defenses. And the reason they have been able to win these championships is they've gotten good play at quarterback, and offense has been good. And I thought, question mark coming in, Stetson Bennett's leaving, they're going to have a fall off. It hasn't dropped off at all. And, yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, we'll change the question mark to an exclamation point. Carson Beck has been legit.
I agree. And one more thing. Earlier this year, it was announced that Bill Hancock would retire as the executive director of the College Football Playoff. This comes after serving 15 years and leading the sport first into the BCS era, then into the 14 playoff, and into next year's 12-team playoff. Last week, the announcement came that Lieutenant General Richard M. Clark will succeed Hancock as the new director of the CFP. Hancock has been at the front of the charge to create a Division I playoff in football, which at one time was the only NCAA sport that didn't have one. But there is a side of Hancock you may not know about. For instance, did you know he has run in 15 marathons, including the Boston and New York events? Did you know that he has climbed Mount Rainier and has taken backpacking trips from rim to rim in the Grand Canyon? You probably don't know that he served on the U.S. Olympic Committee at 15 different games, or that he has published a book. He has ridden the bicycle across the U.S., and that he has won awards as the director of plays at the Shortgrass Playhouse for Oklahoma, My Fair Lady, and Sound of Music. A man of many talents, Bill Hancock will be missed in the world of college football. For this week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we feature the Fighting Illini of Illinois and their overtime win over Indiana as John Paddock found Isaiah Williams for a 21-yard strike on the final play. Brian Barnhart has the call on the Illinois Sports Network.
Isaiah Williams in motion. Snap back to Paddock. Pressure coming. He's in trouble. Now he's running. Now he's throwing. Lobs it to Williams. He's got it at the 2.
Yes!
Touchdown! Touchdown, Illinois! Game-winning touchdown, Illinois!
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit U.S. Catfish.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. farm-raised catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. farm-raised catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more. Visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Want a sure bet? Try the under with this team. Here's Michael Butler.
Is anybody paying attention to Iowa? Before you say they've set football back 100 years with their lack of offense, keep in mind, the Hawkeyes are 8-2. Kirk Ferentz's team's inability to score has not kept him out of the win column, thanks to a sound defense that ranks among the best in the country. The offense, not so much. That's why Kirk's son Brian has been shown the door. Iowa shut out Rutgers 22-0 on Saturday. They had a chance to tack on another TD inside the Scarlet Knights' 10 in the final minute, but took a knee, keeping the number under the Vegas over-under of 27.5. which happened to be the lowest figure in modern football history. Each week, the Vegas experts keep lowering that Iowa number. A week before, it was 32. And that matchup versus Northwestern, Iowa won 10-7, staying under. This season, in 10 games, Iowa has been under 8 times. In their last 4 games, the total has not exceeded 22. This week's total, 30.5. They're expecting some offense, just a little.
Time to bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and lindysports.com. Lynn, several coaching changes this week. The one that got everybody's attention, though, Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M.
Yeah, and this is the time of the year when that starts happening. And we'll, you know, there'll be a few more in the next couple of weeks that'll be losing their jobs that, you know, we might could speculate now, but you couldn't be for sure. It was interesting with Jimbo's situation. They beat Mississippi State. And I was told that this may be the first time ever that the winning coach and the losing coach from the same game both get fired the next day. So that's kind of a, you know, quirky deal. But, yeah, well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens at A&M because of what they've experienced, you know, what they've gone through. Having paid this much money to get a prominent coach and it didn't go obviously as they thought it would. And, it's going to cost a fortune to change things, and we'll see what they do. Several big names have already taken their name out of the running, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Zach Arnett out, Mississippi State, and then Sam Pittman may be out. We're hearing rumors about him.
That's right. Yeah, and I covered the Auburn-Arkansas game up there last week. I'd be very surprised if that announcement, you know, was not prominent or soon on Coach Pittman. And I kind of feel sorry for Zach Arnett, Graham, because he came in replacing Coach Leach, sort of a legend himself, and came in late in the game as far as recruiting goes. And then he's in the toughest division in college football.
Meanwhile, the new poll came out Tuesday night, and I probably sound like a broken record, but scratching my head to some degree about how they're going about picking and putting these teams, especially those top eight or nine.
This is the second week in a row that I don't have any complaint with them, so I'm really starting to worry about myself. I would have them the same way. I mean, they're, you know, the five that are undefeated are at the top. The four that have one loss are the next four. There's nobody rated ahead of somebody that they lost to. Washington remains one spot ahead of Oregon. Texas remains one spot ahead of Alabama. And those are right because they've played those teams and lost to them. But in the next few weeks, next couple of weeks, we're going to have some changes made because some of these teams play each other. And a team that's got that's really going to determine things, Graham, is Oregon State. And I'm not sure that people have really understood that. That's a very good team. And they got two more games to play, Washington and Oregon. And right now you can make a case that Washington and Oregon both should be in that Final Four. Either team could have the Heisman Trophy winner. So Oregon State, while they can't be there themselves, they can sure play a role in determining who does get there.
Yeah, and we've got some games this weekend that we'll get to, but the Big 12 is a mess. They've got several teams in second place behind Texas, and if Texas ends up losing this week or next, I can't even begin to think who the two teams will be in the championship.
Well, UCF really did a number on their standings when they didn't just beat, they massacred Oklahoma State. And that put a whole different complex on the way things looked in the Big 12. And I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, but the Texas-Iowa State game is not a guarantee, and that's a very significant ball game.
Well, let's talk about that game. Texas goes to Iowa State. What do you think?
I like Texas to win the game, but Iowa State certainly could. I don't know if we know for sure what's going to happen with the Texas quarterback situation this week and in the future. And that's a big factor on how Texas does, what their personnel situation is. But Texas has a whole lot more to play for, and I'm going to have to pick Texas to win the game.
Get your sunflowers out, Kansas and Kansas State.
I really like it that both of these teams have gotten back to respectability again. They're both bowl eligible. I'm going to take Kansas State to win it. I've covered games at Manhattan, Kansas. It's one of my favorite towns to have ball games. I'm going to take Kansas State, but I'm real proud of Kansas, quite frankly, for how they've done this year. But Kansas State's at home, and they seem to have been hotter lately, so I'm going to go with Kansas State.
How about North Carolina, Clemson?
Well, I'm going to go with Clemson. I think Clemson's playing hotter. They're playing at home. So I'm going to go with Clemson. It seems like Dabo's kind of gotten it together. It seems like after that, kind of controversy about him, what he had to say and on the radio and so on, they've kind of pulled it together. So I'll take Clemson to win that ball game.
Tennessee playing host to Georgia.
You got to take Georgia, Graham. The way Georgia looked against Mississippi, Georgia had to look like the best team in the country and played a great game against a great team. And then Tennessee, second time this season that they've got beaten badly in games that should have been competitive. The Florida game just should have won, and then they were just massacred by Missouri. Tennessee's down. They got a home field advantage, but I've got to take Georgia to win that ball game.
And another big game in your upset special.
I'm going to take it as my upset special. I had to look at it twice when I saw that Washington is the underdog at Oregon State. So I'm going to bite on it. I'm going to take Washington to win the ball game for Penix to pull this out. My upset winner, the Washington Huskies.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.